Blog Talk Radio.
Still young, 24, 25 years old, and maybe younger than that, 23, 24 years old, he doesn't need to return that quickly from that injury. And even if he does return, Chicago still is not going to beat my, it's not going to beat Miami. Again, the East, there's Miami, and then there's everybody else. Western Conference, a little bit more confusing. OKC all of a sudden has come back down to earth after that tour streak that they had. Clippers are playing better. They've gotten healthier. You know, San Antonio has been steady despite the injuries that they've had. Question: all three of those teams have questions at the top. And to me, it's those three teams in the Western Conference. Can San Antonio stay healthy? And that is a major question for the Spurs. Can they stay healthy? They have a nice mix of young talent, but their key players, the guys who are prone to injury, are their older players, and Ginobili and Duncan, and guys who they have to have on the floor in order to play well, in order for them to advance. Can they stay healthy? Can Oklahoma City play in a half court game? And can they get any? Who is the third option for Oklahoma City? One telling thing out of that Miami game was how much, to me, that they missed James Harden. You know, Westbrook and Durant both started off that game kind of slow. Westbrook picked it up in the second quarter. Durant picked it up basically in the second half. But that was a game where James Harden, you know, could have came out and you know, held down the fort until those two guys going. They don't have that third person no more. Third player. I mean, who's third player anymore? Who's the third best player on that team? Kelvin Martin, Serge Ibaka. Neither one of those guys are, to me, a capable number three player, which puts all the pressure in the world on Durant and Westbrook. And you saw Durant and Westbrook had about 66 points between them. It wasn't enough. Not against a team of the caliber of Miami. It wouldn't be enough against a team the caliber of San Antonio or maybe even the Clippers. And for the Clippers, you know, can the Clippers get any low post game out of Blake Griffin? And can Chris Paul stay healthy? So all three of those teams atop the Western Conference, to me, have some major questions that they're going to have to address over the course of the second half of the season. And either all three of those teams, to me, I still would favor. Right now, if you ask me, I would favor Oklahoma City, but not by much. They have come back down to, again, they've come back down to the pack as far as Western Conference supremacy. I've not been impressed by Oklahoma City in the last couple of weeks. They get blown out by Miami. They get blown out at Utah. And they really, you know, they'll be very interesting to watch over the course of the next 26, 28 to 30 games. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. As we discuss the NBA, we'll also, you know, we'll also talk some NFL as well, but this will be an NBA-laden show. We'll be back. We'll be right back. 10 minutes after 11 o'clock hour on this abbreviated edition of the Snow Corner Review. Just 45 minutes. We're going just 45 minutes this morning as we discuss the world of sports. Today's headlines: Ryan Braun of the Milwaukee Brewers appeared on a clinic document from, of course, Anthony Bosch, who treated a number of Major League Baseball players who were caught for PEDs, including Melky Cabrera, Alex Rodriguez. Braun's name appeared on the list, and of course had the number 1500 by it, assuming that was how much money that he owed Anthony Bosch. Remember this: Braun, of course, last year was caught, got tested positive for PED, but because the sample was contaminated, because Major League Baseball getting dropped the ball with that. The people who Major League Baseball hired dropped the ball. There was no FedEx open, so the persons left it at their house and that again contaminated the sample. It wasn't because Braun was clean. It was because the people that Major League Baseball hired to make sure the sample got where it needed to be completely dropped the ball and didn't follow procedure. It was just that simple. So that bailed Ryan Braun out, and he was cleared of any wrongdoing. Ryan Braun is dirty. I mean, there's no two ways about it. His name is on the list for Anthony Bosch, who treated all these guys who are dirty. And he used Anthony Bosch as a consultant during his appeals case last year, which to me, I don't know how you use a guy who's, and again, these players know who these guys are. There's no secret. The Anthony Boschs of the world, the Victor Contis, you have to be an idiot not to know that these guys are dirty. I mean, these guys are selling performance enhancing drugs, trying to cheat the system just like the players trying to cheat the system. So, it's ideal that Braun didn't know who Anthony Bosch was, and he thought he was, a physician, and it was a bunch of nonsense. I mean, the guy was dirty. Clearly he was dirty. And if you're Ryan Braun right now, you got to be a little nervous if you're Milwaukee Brewers, because, Major League Baseball was embarrassed by that situation. They're going to be coming after Ryan Braun without question. So Ryan Braun, he better keep his nose clean. Don't even jaywalk as far as this type of thing goes, because they're going to be coming after him. They were embarrassed by that situation last year. Everybody knows he was dirty. It was just, again, the procedure was not done the correct way. They didn't go about doing it the correct way in terms of making sure that the specimen got to his proper place. Dwight Freeney and Charles Wilson both have been cut by their respective teams. These are two guys who probably will end up in the Hall of Fame someday, and two guys that frankly can still play. These were clearly set. They are clearly salary cap casualties. Wilson was due $9 million on this 2013 contract. I was surprised that Freeney was cut, considering that, both these guys struggled with injuries. Both of these guys are a little bit older. But I thought that they would want to keep Freeney on to, help the transition of going to a younger team, and he would be one of the veteran presence along with say a Reggie Wayne, a guy like that. But listen, if you need a pass rusher, Washington Redskins, I'm on the phone with March 1st comes. I'm putting feelers out there. I would snatch up Dwight Freeney in a heartbeat. Dwight Freeney can still play this game. Yes, he had an off year last year. He had a few injuries here and there, but he is not done by any stretch of the imagination. Charles Wilson, again, I still had a bunch of injuries this year, only played in a handful of games. I still think he can be he has a lot of value at the free safety or strong safety position, and as a quarterback in terms of covering a slot corner. Can he cover your number one receivers? No. Or number two receivers? No. But he can be a nickel or a slot cover corner, which he's effective as. Andy, bottom line is the guy is a ball hawk. He can get, you know, he gets interceptions. He returns them for touchdowns. I still think Woodson can play. So there are a lot of teams that can use both a Dwight Freeney and a Charles Woodson on their team and expect those guys to get picked up quickly as they have been released by their respective teams, the Packers and the Colts. When we return, I will give you my NBA all-time team. I put it out there in Facebook. Who was your all-time NBA team, top in by position? Two guards, two forwards, and a center. No point guard, no power forward, no. Just like the All-Star game. Two guards, two forwards, and a center. Of course, All-Star game has eliminated the center, but there have been too many great centers over the course of the NBA history not to have that center, not to have a center in your all-time great team. So we need a center. So we're going to have a center. I'll give you my team and tell you why I put that team together. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Coin Review. We'll be right back.
One, two, three, four. Can I have just a little more? Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. I love you. A, B, C, D. Can I bring my friends to tea? E, L, G, H, I, J. I love you.
My apologies for that. The Dallas Mavericks could not be further away from a championship right now. Of course, that was recorded a couple of years ago. Dallas Mavericks, they're not doing near a championship, although they do have some cap space in 2013 in this offseason. So maybe they make a run at Dwight Howard so they can take him off our hands as a Laker fan. But you know, we'll certainly get to that as we look ahead towards the second half of the NBA season. All-Star Weekend in Houston. Of course, you had the Rising Stars game last night. Tonight, you'll have dunk contest, three-point contest, skills competition. LeBron James refused again, you know, just playing with the media. I guess just toying with the media about the dunk contest. He had tweeted this week or last week, dunk contest, ? And then, of course, said he's not going to participate. Which I don't understand. I don't understand why James never participated in the dunk contest at least once. I just don't get it. I'd be curious to find his answer why he never – what kept him, was it – what's the real reason why he never – why he'll and he'll never participate in the dunk contest at this point in his career. He's too – you know, in his mind, he's – bigger than the dunk contest. He's, you know, he's won a championship. If he was going to do it, he was going to do it 2, 3, 4 years ago. I don't get it. I mean, again, some of the greatest players in the history of the sport have participated in dunk contests. I mean, you had Jordan, Kobe, and Dominique, and Dr. J. I mean, some all-time greats. Is he really afraid of that? Is he going to embarrass himself? I mean, I don't know. I think he would just light up a dunk contest. But for whatever reason, he refuses to be in a dunk contest and never will be, as far as I'm concerned. Because he's, 28 years old. He's going to want to sit back in the audience and, you know, kind of just, you know, watch it. Sit back in the audience and be a celebrity on top of being a basketball player, which is fine. I mean, he earned the right to do that, but at this point, he's earned the right to do that. But, again, I'll never get why he didn't participate in at least one. I mean, Vince Carter did one. dunk contest. I mean, he's a bigger star than Vince Carter, but Vince Carter did one, and that was it. And that was fine. That one, he, you know, was like Haley's Comet. He just destroyed it, and he said, you know what? That's it. And that's fine. That's perfect. Just one, though. Okay. Give you my all-time great team. Over the course of this past week, I put it out there on Facebook. I asked the Facebook audience who and what was your all-time great team as far as NBA goes by position. Now, keep this in mind. Just because I have this all-time great team as far as by position, these are not the five guys who I feel like are the five greatest players of all time in order. So that's the difference between who I think is the greatest players of all time, if I rank them, versus who I'm going to put on my all-time great team. At the guard position, pretty clear cut on who I would want on my team, Magic and Michael. Now, again, I think Kobe Bryant's a better player than Magic Johnson, but let's be honest, I'm trying to win the game, or I'm trying to have a murder committed. Kobe and Michael would kill each other. I mean, they literally would kill each other before even the first game if I were taking this team out. It's just not enough basketball, so those two to be in the same backcourt. This is all there is to it. So you need a Magic Johnson who will defer to Michael Jordan, happily defer to Michael Jordan, just rack up his assists. So Magic, perfect. Need a floor general anyway. Magic, who would better floor general in the history of the sport other than Magic Johnson? There has been none. So that pretty much was an easy one. Michael Jordan, enough said. The forward position is very tricky because there have been so many great power small forwards over the course of NBA history. I had a little twist of mine. I put Larry Bird as my small forward. I'm moving from center to power forward, Bill Russell. Now, let me explain the Larry Bird pick. I heard people, you know, I saw LeBron James, saw Scottie Pippen, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone. There's some very good choices. Let's keep this in mind. Larry Bird, okay, won three championships. Larry Bird is a three-time MVP. Larry Bird, for his career, averaged 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists. Despite being slow, despite he couldn't run, he couldn't jump, but he averaged 10 rebounds a game at the small forward position. Larry Bird is about 6'8". Okay, so about 6'8", 225, somewhere else. Larry Bird, you see Larry Bird in the grocery store, you'll just say, you know, that's a tall white guy. That's what you'll say. You won't say, well, this guy's a physical specimen. He wasn't. Larry Bird was one of the smartest players of all time, one of the best pure shooters of all time, one of the best pure passers of all time, and one of the most mentally tough players of all time. Larry Bird was like, I mean, you didn't mess with Larry Bird. He was as tough as they come, as skilled as they come, and saw things before that. He was kind of like a Joe Montana in terms of just seeing things before they happened. Yeah, he really had that kind of vision. He had that kind of feel for the game. And again, there's no way I could have a first team without Larry Bird on there. He's just that great. He's one of the top six or seven players of all time. All he did was win. If not for Magic Johnson, he would have 7 to 8 championships. And the Lakers cost him minimum two championships. You have at least 5. So keep that in mind. Again, if you ever just go look up his stats. Go look at what Bird did in the postseason. Go look at what Bird did just in general. You want to debate on why he's on this team. I cannot put LeBron ahead of Larry Bird because the totality of Larry Bird's career is better than LeBron's career right now. Now, maybe 3 to 4 years now, that'll be a different story. LeBron has one championship right now, one. Bird has 3. I moved Russell to the power forward because, to me, Russell at 6'10", 225, was perfectly built to be a power forward. His defensive presence, he would just dominate the defensive glass. And you need a rebound. He would be like a Rodman with a better offensive game. Thing about Bill Russell is people fail to realize Bill Russell, everybody talks about his defense, okay, which is fine. He averaged 22.5 rebounds for his career. God knows how many block shots he would have had they been keeping that stat. Russell, for his career, offensively, 15 points a game, 4.3 assists, okay? 15 points, 4.3 assists. He did not have to score. Okay, he did not have to score. Had he wanted to, had he been more selfish, he could have averaged 20 to 25 points easily. All right, Bill Russell, Bill Russell for his career, 11-0 in game sevens in decisive games. Bill Russell in his career had a game seven in an overtime win where they beat the Lakers, where he had 30 points and 40 rebounds. If you don't know Bill Russell or what Bill Russell is all about, just please go look it up. Go to Wikipedia. Go to Google him. Please go look it up. If you don't think Bill Russell is one of the top two or three greatest players of all time, please look it up. Please do your research. Bill Russell won was the best player on a team that won 8 straight championships and won 11 championships in 13 years. Again, I could put him at center, but I could have easily put him at center, but the reason why I didn't put him at center is because of this next guy who I couldn't leave off the team, and that is Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain is my center. Wilt Chamberlain statistically is the greatest player of all time. Statistically, the greatest player of all time. The guy for his career averaged 30 points and 22 rebounds. 30 points and 22 rebounds. If not for Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain would have about 9 or 10 championships. He won 2 championships. Those 2 championships that he won, those 2 teams, the 71-72 Lakers and the 66-67 76ers, are considered 2 of the top 5 teams of all time in NBA history for a single season. Not coincidence that he's on both of those teams. Russell had a year in which he averaged 50 points over the course of the season. Excuse me, Chamberlain. Chamberlain had a year in which he led the league in assists. Chamberlain had a year, had a game in which he scored 100 points. I wanted Russell and Chamberlain on the same team because how could you score on that team? How could you get a rebound on that team? We would control the glass. I mean, I'm looking at this team. I mean, I don't see how you beat this team. Magic, I got Magic control. I got Magic, you know, controlling everything. I got Jordan for scoring and killer instinct and being clutch. I got Bird passing at 6'8", being a passer facilitator and getting wide open shots because you have to double team Wilt Chamberlain. And then at the power forward, I got Bill Russell controlling the glass, blocking shots. Remember, I'm not just choosing the 5 greatest players in history. I'm choosing a team that I feel like I can win with, not just rolling out talent there. I'm fitting in pieces. I mean, it's kind of like the dream team or the Olympic team, not just getting the absolute best players, but getting players that fit the best. This team I have right here is a mixture of both. Not only do I get all-time greats, but I get guys who actually fit and could play together well together. You would not beat this team. Nobody could beat this team. There's not a team that you could put together that could beat this team, period. Russell at the power forward, blocking shots. Chamberlain at the center. Listen, look at my front court. Bird, Russell, and Chamberlain all can pass the ball. They all were excellent passers. All of them. So I got 4 guys. I got all 5 of my guys can pass the ball. Even Jordan, as a gunner, he was a gunner, had for his career averaged over 5 assists a game. He was an excellent passer as well. Remember, he averaged 11 assists a game in the NBA, his first NBA Finals against Magic. I feel confident that this team could beat anybody. I really do. So that's my all-time great team. Good luck in trying to beat it. When we return, we will talk hypocrisy in the NCAA. We'll talk about that and also guns and violence, an unfortunate tragedy in South Africa. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. The Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. 31 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Kern Review. And again, Jordan, Magic, Bird, Russell, Chamberlain. Good luck. Good luck. I think that team, how could you beat that team? I mean, I don't see how you even compete with that team. I have the perfect fit of passers, defensive players, offensive players. I mean, it's a perfect match, perfect fit. All those guys would fit their roles perfectly. All of them. All of them. Russell, Chamberlain, and Jordan, that's enough athleticism. I don't need any more athletes. I have a 6'9 point guard. I have a 6'8 small forward who, in his career, again, how would you get it? You wouldn't even get a rebound. Bird averaged 10 rebounds a game in his career. Russell and Chamberlain both averaged over 20 rebounds a game. How would you get a rebound? How would you score in the paint with Russell and Chamberlain protecting the basket? It wouldn't happen. And Russell was so athletic. Russell is the type of guy that could defend power forwards. He can defend centers. He can defend small forwards. I'll say you beat that team. A couple of disturbing stories. One, I'll deal with the Oscar Petraeus situation. Oscar Petraeus, who's a folk hero in South Africa for what he did in terms of, as a paraplegic, he won an Olympic gold medal. He ran he ran with no legs, basically, prosthetic legs, and he received some criticism because people thought it was unfair advantage, but for the most part, he was admired for his bravery throughout the course of the Olympics. It was one of the big stories of the Olympics and one of the big stories around the world. He shoots his girlfriend four times. Girlfriend is, of course, a world-class model, one of the most beautiful women in the world. And, again, guns and violence has just been running rampant ever since Newtown, to be honest with you. Ever since Newtown, Connecticut, it seems like every week you're hearing something about gun violence. Chicago, and not to get too far off the reservation here, but Chicago has been reported saying that they are at, we're at 500 murders last year in 2012. 500. 500. Okay. See the girl who got shot, the 15-year-old who got shot, who spoke at the inauguration. It's just been, guns and violence has been running crazy. In terms of sports, Javon Belcher killing himself as well as killing his girlfriend. And this story, again, is just a disturbing story. Again, they're trying to get him for premeditated murder. He comes out with basically saying, she surprised him on Valentine's Day and it was accidental. It's a bunch of garbage. She didn't have a key to his house. I mean, come on. It just doesn't make sense. That story is not going to hold. He's going to get locked up for murder. It's just a matter of premeditated first degree, second degree, third degree, the prosecution is going after him for premeditated murder. Like, he planned this on Valentine's Day out of all the days. Guns and violence have taken over. Guns and violence have been just run crazy throughout the course of America in the last couple of months. And again, a sad story. Again, you just never know. You never know what's on somebody's mind. You never know, rich or not rich. This guy had it all. He had it all. He had the fortune. He had the fame. He had, the beautiful girl. He owned the country, basically. South Africa, they worshiped his feet. They worshiped at his, at his feet. Had billboards, 50-foot billboards on, with his name. And you would think that he would have it all together, but apparently he did not. Javadian Clowney and Noel Nerlens. Now, Noel and Nerlens are certainly intertwined. First of all, they both play in the SEC conference. And the second thing is they are considered to be the best at their respective sports in college basketball, college football. If Jadeveon Clowney came out today as a sophomore, he would be the number one draft pick by far and away. He's the best player in college football. But due to the rule, the three-year rule that the NFL has, that you have to have at least 3 years, that you have to play at least 3 years of college football, Jadeveon Clowney's not eligible to come out right now. He's going to challenge that rule. And I'm sure what happened to Noel Nerlens certainly contributed to that. Noel Nerlens, the Kentucky center, who 6'10", 230 pounds, leads the nation and is averaging about 11 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks. Still a raw talent, but you see the potential once he develops his skills and once he gets a better understanding of his game. A guy who would frankly be in the NBA right now if it wasn't for that ridiculous one-and-done rule, tears up his ACL in a game against Florida, done for the season. Now, that hasn't hurt his stock too much. He's projected now to be the number three pick from number one to number three, which isn't that big of a deal. And it's not like he's going to receive any more money going being number one, maybe number three versus being number one. But the point is, the guy would already be paid right now if it wasn't for the one-and-done rule. There was no question that this guy was only going to go to college for 1 year and then be gone. He was having a very good year. Even if he was having a lesser year, he would have been gone. I don't blame Jadeveon Clowney for challenging the NCAA. I hope he wins. Again, I've said it for years, the NCAA is the biggest hypocrisy in society. You talk about education this, education that. You make billions of dollars off these guys, but when something happens to them, the only thing they can receive is basically an insurance policy. So, again, I don't see how you can keep a guy from making a decision. Now, the NFL three-year rule makes much more sense than the one and done in the NCAA, because the NFL three-year rule is football. You want a guy, you pick a guy, it needs at least 3 years to be physically ready to play football. And that's certainly understandable. But that should be his choice, not the choice of the NFL. Shouldn't be the choice of the NFL. If he's making a mistake by not being physically ready, then you know what will happen? He'll get injured. He won't play. He'll be out the league. That'll be his choice. Just like with the NBA before this one-and-done rule. There have been a lot of guys, Cornelio Young to name just a few, who have not been ready to come out of high school right away, and then they're out the league in 6 months, or they're out the league in a year. There have been a ton of guys. But the point is, that was their choice. As grown men, as grown adults, we sometimes make choices that are not very good, and we pay the price for them. The point is, that is our choice. That should be their choice. A choice should not be made for a grown man or woman, period. Noel Nerlens did not want to go to college. Okay, Noel Nerlens would have been in the NBA had he not, if it wasn't for this one-and-done rule. There are a lot of guys, and it's making a mockery of college basketball. It's making a mockery of the educational of education. A guy could, not even go to class for the spring semester or for parts of the semester and still go to the NBA and still be eligible to play in the NCAA tournament. If you take away the one-and-done rule, you'll have guys who are going to college who actually want to be in college and who actually might stay 2 years or 3 years if you take away that rule. Because those guys who want to stay for 1 year and leave, will go straight. They won't even go to college. They'll go straight from the high school to the NBA. So, again, hopefully Noel Nerlens heals up. He should be ready. I mean, he'll be ready for next year's training camp in terms of the NBA, and he'll be a top-five pick. Yeah, I don't see his stock falling too much, but hopefully his career won't be altered by this knee injury again. ACLs, guys coming back from knee injuries, it's not the same as it once was when it used to just destroy your career and where you were done for a long time. Modern medicine, modern technology, look at Adrian Peterson. Guys react differently to the injury, so it doesn't seem like he just completely shattered his knee. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we will wrap up the program with with some NBA. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Silquin Review. We'll be right back. Saturday morning of the Silquin Review. Have a wonderful weekend. So long.